Alrighty. Tonight, if you will, turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 32. The book of Psalms, chapter 32. You know, the book of Psalms, I tell you what, if you want to read a book, this is a book that will stir your heart. And it's got a whole lot in here that deals with, I believe it deals with the Old Testament, and it also deals with the New Testament. And it deals with the church, it deals with the sinner, it deals with the Christians, and the lost. The book of Psalms deals with every aspect of life. If we just take it and read it and allow the Lord to, and let the Holy Spirit teach us in what it says. But here in Psalms chapter 32, the psalmist David, this right here is, I don't know how to pronounce that word, the instruction. It's talking about the instructions that he gives us and the things that we must do, and we must follow his instructions. We must follow his every lead, and we must when we go to the Lord in prayer, I believe we must ask the Lord, say, Lord, just get everything out of my way. Just get everything out of my way, clear my mind, crucify me once again, and that when I'm reading and when I'm studying, that I will read about you and I will concentrate on what the word says. But it says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed are we that he has covered our sins at the day that we come to Jesus. He's covered my sins, and my sin is never brought up to God the Father again. It's covered. Only thing the Father can see is the precious blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. And blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputed not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bone waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. Night and day he speaks to us. Night and day. And he will put a heavy burden on our heart for someone else. And not only that, it talks about where it says down here, it says, upon me, my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. The moisture right here, I believe, is the individual that has left God where he was at and has gone on their way and doing the things that they want to do, because they have a longing within their heart to do the things of the devil. Now you know that if anybody turns their back and follows the devil, you know the devil is on them. The devil is heavy on the heart also. Because the devil will also teach us that we must go and do what he's asked us to do, because that's what God would want us to do. But that's not what God wants us to do. God wants to obey his voice. God wants us to obey his spirit. God wants us to obey his word. God wants for us to obey him at all costs. But we that will go out here in the world, if you get caught up in sin, you done lost your thirst. You done lost your thirst and your righteousness for him. Because that's when the moisture down deep in our soul has lost something. You take a tree out here, or you take a garden, you take a tomato plant. We can go out there and we can plant that tomato plant. We can water it morning, noon, and night till it gets to the point that it grows up and we'll see little small fruit on it of tomatoes. But if we don't continue to give it moisture, if we don't continue to feed it in what it needs to make the plant strong and strong to the weather, then the first fruit you're going to get off is going to be rotten. Have you ever seen a plant? Have you ever seen a tomato plant that the whole plant is nothing but rotten tomatoes on it? I have. They're not good. They're not good. They're not fit for us to eat. Why? Because they're rotting. They're corrupt. We have some people today that's out here, and they corrupt. God can't use them the way that they are. God can't use them the way they are. They need moisture. They need to go back to where they first was, where they first lost their first love. And the only way that anybody can ever experience the love is through the Lord Jesus Christ. No doubt in your mind that you love your family. No doubt. And I'm going to take one individual in particular tonight. And I can take him and I can compare him up to one that's in the book. And that is Caleb. Caleb in the book, what does it stand for? It stands for honesty. It stands for integrity. It stands for character. Little Caleb, when I saw it on the Facebook last night or the other night, that little Caleb had got saved this past week. No doubt before then I could have we could have all asked him, says, who do you love? Who do you love? He said, I love mommy, I love daddy, I love grandma, I love grandpa. Who else do you love? I love Jesus. But you can go back next week and you can ask him who he loves. And no doubt he's going to come back and say the same individual, but he's going to say it with a new tone in his voice. He's going to say it because he's experienced the love of God. Even though he's a little small child, the Bible says we must come as little children. We must come as that little child. It doesn't make no difference how old we are or how young we are. We have got to come to God as that little child because that's what we are. We're that little child because we've never experienced the love of God until we met God. He has never experienced the love of God, but he has experienced something within his family. He experienced something that probably a whole lot of young children his age don't have it today. Don't have that anymore. Why? Because the parents is all about the parents. The parents is not about the children anymore. Because if the parents was about the child, then they would not come up and say that the father of that child would not come up and say, hey, what? You know, I can't do anything with him. I can't do anything with him. I mean, here you are, 200 pounds, 6 foot tall, and you can't do anything with a
a small child that's just learned how to walk. You know the reason we can't do anything? Because we have laughed at the people. The things that they've done, we have laughed at them. And yes, and they get tickled. We do too. I get tickled at them, some of the things that they do. But we should watch how we get tickled at them. We should watch and how we laugh. We should watch them and letting them know that you can have fun, but remember one thing, Jesus comes first. Then the fun can come next. But Jesus is first. We need to take Jesus seriously. We don't take Jesus serious. We don't take God serious anymore. We don't even take the Holy Spirit serious anymore. Why?
We have changed with the time. It's not 1926 now. It's 2016. Time has changed. Time has changed, you're right. But see, our time, man made time, is not God's time.
God has never changed. He will not change. He is same yesterday, today, and forevermore.
Today is a day of salvation. It's not tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. I've had people say, oh yes it do. I'm going to get up in the morning and go to work.
I said, can you honestly say right now in your heart that you know that you're going to get up in the morning and go to work? That you're going to get up and you're going to go and do what you've been doing all these years? No, we can't, because God has control over us. God gives life and God takes life. We cannot give life and we cannot take. Only God is in that role. Oh yes, we can hurry it up. We can hurry it up. And you know how we hurry it up? If we used to walk with God, then we just all of a sudden just backslid. And we go and we then we start walking with the devil. God's not going to put up with it. God's not going to put up with me that long. God's not going to put up with you. He's not going to put up with people that would discredit him and bring a shame unto him. Why? We've lost our first love. We've lost the moisture that we had down in our soul. We've lost that thirst. A thirst that can only quench our body. You know, in the book of Timothy, I think it's the second book in the last chapter there, it speaks about we must not quench the Holy Spirit. But we do. We shouldn't, but we do. And anytime we quench the Holy Spirit, God is not going to bless us. People today don't even know what the Holy Spirit is. They think if they come into the house of God and they think if they hear the preacher up there preaching or the Sunday school up teacher teaching and it's bringing up the Holy Spirit, they're going to say, oh no, here goes the preacher now. He's going half-cocked, man. He's going to get off here in this Pentecostal holiness junk. He's going to start speaking in tongues. No, I ain't going to speak in tongues. Paul says in the, over there, I think it's in 1st or 2nd Corinthians, but to speak a few words where people can understand. They get up there and preach 1,000 words or preach for an hour. It's better for an individual to get up there and stand and just read the Word of God. where people can understand it. Then him get up here and read it. Then get up and preach it in another language. That's all it is. That's what tongues is. It's another language. We have different speech today. That's what tongues is another speech, another language where they can understand it.
Over in the book of Acts, over in chapter 2, talking about Peter. Now, Peter went out here and he preached one of the greatest messages that probably upon mankind that ever was preached, besides the Lord Jesus Christ. But what did he say? He says, these cloven tongues. But see, the people today don't say anything about cloven tongues. What the cloven tongues, what that means, is another language. Another language. People out here today, they need to realize, what are you going to get out of God? What are you going to get to help you if you have a preacher up here that'll preach an hour in a language where you don't understand? I want to ask you, would you come back? Would you come back if it helped you? No, I wouldn't either. The only way that I'll come back, and I'll come back with the in fellowship, is when I can understand what the man of God is saying and what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to my heart. Nobody can ever tell me that God is in something else and all of that stuff going on today. He's not in that. Mankind is into that. Why is mankind in it? Because they want to get excited. Hey, I get excited. I get excited just preaching God's word to the English-speaking people, using the same language that they understand. I get excited. But I get excited about what I read. And as the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart, I can get excited. You can get excited. But if I'm in here preaching something else that you don't understand, how can you get excited? You can't. It's emotion. Emotion. Yeah, it's good to get excited. It really is. But emotions? I don't think so. I tell people all the time, I don't mind you coming into the church. I don't mind you coming, and I don't mind you shouting. I don't mind you lifting your hands up and you saying amen. I don't mind that. But when you do, you make sure when you land flat-footed. You don't go out here and start falling off in the floor. How many has actually seen somebody in church that come and they said that they were slain in the spirit? And then it started in the flow. Then they got the jerking and everything. And then when they get up, they start a dance. Hey, I've been to some revivals when that happened. But you know what? As soon as that started happening, everything else went away. Everything else went away. Why? Because God wasn't in it. Why should God be in something like it? God wants to save souls. That's what God's business is. And our business is to get people under conviction by His precious word. And that the word of God and the preaching of God's word, the teaching of God's word, and the sound of the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection, will bring them under such conviction that will draw them to Jesus. When the book of Romans says, you cannot hear unless you got a preacher. That's the only thing that will ever get to an individual's heart. This week I was talking to another individual besides the one that I was speaking about this morning. But he was telling me, he said, you know, we're all preachers. I said, yes, we sure are. According to God's word, we're all preachers. Because where God's word speaks of preachers, he speaks of evangelists. He speaks of missionaries. But where he speaks of pastors, they have a special, special place. They have a special place in what they need to do. They need to listen to the Lord. And the Lord is, he will speak to me about some things that, and I may bring it up at church, at business meeting, but if I do bring it up, you must realize one thing. That if it's not contradictory to the Word of God, you must realize God has spoken to me about it. Because I will not bring up anything to where God hasn't spoke to me about. I want to be as close to God as I can get. You do too. I see y'all shaking your head. You do too. We all want to be closer to God. But don't let other things come about us and discouraging us and discouraging us in doing some of the things for God. Over in verse 7 in chapter 32 it says, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the ways which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. Be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with bits and bridles, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that is trusted in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad. Be enthused about serving the Lord. You know, we don't have to serve Him. We don't have to serve Him. We serve Him because we love Him. We serve Him because He loved us once. He went to Calvary. He shed His blood for me. He shed His blood and He died for my soul. And if there's an individual that will go out here and take the beating that he took for me, he is worthy of all the praise that we can muster up. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. In the very first verse in chapter 33, rejoice in the Lord, for ye righteous, for praise and comely for upright. Praise the Lord with harps and sing unto him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all of his work are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The truth, the earth is full of goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as in heap, and layeth up the depth of the storehouse. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he speaks, and it was done. He commandeth, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel, the heathens to naught. He maketh the device of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thought of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord's, and the people in whom he hath chosen for his own inhabitants. One of these days we're going to go home and we're going to inherit everything the Lord has. Why? Why? That's the Lord. When we go ahead and share our inheritance with someone else that we don't know anything about. Oh yes, they may be a Christian. They may be in church somewhere else. But we should go ahead and share our inheritance with them. I doubt very seriously we would. Would we go out there and help them? If they needed help, we should. But we are more concerned about our own life. Brother Barry, come on up. We have one song, one verse. The Lord spoke into your heart tonight, any way at all, come forward. We need to pray like we've never prayed before.